This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Something weird happened to me yesterday. I saw that one of the departments of Sabbath school announced they were canceling Sabbath school. And I said, how can they do that? Looking at the clock, I understand now. Dear church family, so good to see you. Those that I can see. Church family on the web, it would have been so good to see you. But I know you can see us, you can see me, and the good Lord can see us all. Wherever we are. As you can see, I bought a suit, I got a tie. So by the time I'm leaving, I'm almost there, catching up. It's been such a great ride together. It's a ride indeed, because on a ride, you can experience everything. And that's why it has been so beautiful. You know, just looking at the final moments, I know my kids in a week or so would like to come back and do this again. It will be there in our hearts, the desire to come and see our beautiful family. I tried to put my final message here under a title that comes from a saying that became famous, and has most often been attributed to Oliver W. Holmes Sr., a physician, professor, and dean at Harvard University, whose name was also stained by some reprovable ideas and acts of racism and eugenics. The saying is this: some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. But then from there, another saying appeared: some Christians are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. And from there, another saying stemmed out: genuine Christians are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. And that is a lie. My title is So Heavenly Minded and Yet So Earthly Good. In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5, starting with verse 22, this is what the Lord says. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. It's interesting, he had times to have sons and daughters while he was walking with God. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and now it comes again. And Enoch did what? Walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will give it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing for me how in three verses, arranged like in a chiastic structure, the same line appears twice. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Where did Enoch walk with God? Obviously, here on earth. Yes, he was so heavenly minded that at one point God looked at him and told him, "Listen, Enoch, I've seen you throughout the 300 years of you walking with me. It has not always been the same, because up until you're 65, you were a different guy. But starting with the birth of your son Methuselah, you changed your ways. And you started walking with me, walking with the Lord, walking with God. And I've been watching you, and I want to take you home, because I've seen you have been so heavenly minded." But that happened at the end of the 300 years period. Enoch was so heavenly minded, and yet he was so earthly good. How do I know that? Well, go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, because there the passage says something that is in the Hebrew text, but is not so obvious in translations. This is what it says: "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of those who diligently seek him." I don't know if you've listened carefully or read carefully. I have a question for you. What in this passage indicates that Enoch was not only so heavenly minded, but he was also earthly good? So earthly good. What in the passage says that? Go back to verse 5. That's the next slide. "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found." Was not found. How do you know somebody was not found unless you know somebody searched for him? Have you heard the exclamation, "Eureka, Eureka"? Do you know where it's coming from? There's a very interesting story in the history of science. They say that Archimedes, depending on how you pronounce his name from the Greek, he was a scientist, well, in the sense of the word, in that good old time. And he was studying to see how the laws of nature function in water. And one day, the story says, he stepped into a bathtub and he realized that the level of the water rose when he got into the tub. Now, question. Does that the same happen to you? I guess so. Nothing new about it. But it just dawned on him that if when he gets into the water, the water level rises, that means that the volume that is displaced is the same volume that the body parts that are now submerged into the water, the same volume is there. And from there, it dawned on him that there is a possibility now to measure exactly the volume of irregular shapes and bodies, because you can just measure that level of water. More than that, it came to him that now, because you know when you submerge something, a body or a shape, into water, and that is pushed back from the water with what is called the law of buoyancy, the same law says that the force that pushes up is equal to the weight of the volume of liquid that is displaced. That may sound complicated. Now, if you deal with ships and boats and cargoes, that's a must. Otherwise, your ship will sink. But the story says that when he had this aha moment, this eureka moment, he just jumped out of the and shouted, "Eureka! Eureka!" Meaning what? I found it! I found it! I'm telling you this story because the same verb is used here and was not found. The same verb. And what this passage tells you is that when Enoch disappeared, he just vanished, this guy is no longer around, they started searching for him, they started looking for him, they were hoping they may find him somewhere and they will have a eureka moment. And the eureka moment never happened. But why did they look for him? Let me read to you a passage from Ellen G. White, Patriarchs and Prophets. From Patriarchs and Prophets 85, this is what she says. Enoch walked with God. Enoch's walk with God was not in a trance or a vision, but in all the duties of his daily life. What does that mean? He did not become a hermit, shutting himself entirely from the world, for he had a work to do for God where? In the world. He was so heavenly minded and yet so earthly good. And she goes on, in the family, this is crucial, servants of God, ministers, fellow pastors, elders, ministry leads, in the family, that's where your duty starts, in the family and in his intercourse, which is relationship with man, as a what? As a husband. Yes, he had time to be a husband. And father, yes, he had time to have sons and daughters. A friend, yes, he had friends. A citizen, he was a good citizen, somebody that cared about what is happening in the community. He was steadfast, unwavering servant of the Lord. Now that's a beautiful legacy. And that legacy reminds you of Jesus Christ and his disciples walking together. Because the way Enoch walked with the Lord, you can see the disciples walking with Jesus Christ, starting the day early with prayer to recharge, be heavenly minded. But at the same time, be earthly good throughout the day. Going around touching people's life, being available for people. You know, Jesus' school of discipleship was a peripatetic, that's what it's called, school, meaning a walkabout school. They were walking, they were talking, they were earthly good, changing the life of those people that needed their presence right then and right there. Discipleship, please keep this in mind. Discipleship that prepares you for the kingdom. A discipleship that prepares somebody else through you for the kingdom means walking with somebody that is so heavenly minded that he or she is still so earthly good. You may see people and you may be tempted to walk with them, people that are no heavenly minded, but they are so earthly good. And that can be beneficial for a while. Understand? For a while, it can be beneficial. You may also see people that are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Brothers and sisters, watch out. Those are extremely dangerous people. Because those people are selling you a heaven that does not exist. Yes, they are indeed heavenly minded, but their heaven is a different place. It's a utopia. A genuine Christian that walks with God is somebody that is so heavenly minded and yet he or she is so earthly good. And the more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you become. And if there is anything that I would like to encapsulate my legacy here at Plantation is, be heavenly minded. But brother and sister, be earthly good. Don't try to feed yourself with a heaven that doesn't exist. And don't feed anybody else with a heaven that you imagined or you invented. Because if I look at the heaven that Jesus Christ prepares for us, being heavenly minded means to be earthly good. And if you want to ask me what my takeaway is, what my greatest blessing has been here at Plantation Church, it's this. I had the God-given chance, possibility, opportunity to have been walking side by side with people that are so heavenly minded and yet they are so earthly good. And before you're accusing me of overgeneralization, I have to tell you that there is enough place, enough room for growth. Enough room for growth to become more and more heavenly minded and become more and more earthly good. You know, we have been through so many things, processes, events, programs, and then this remodeling. This remodeling process has been part of the growth, becoming more heavenly minded and more earthly good. Because this church building here, is not just a place of worship where some heavenly minded people gather Sabbath by Sabbath and then they go and you don't see them anywhere. No, this place of worship has to be a center of influence. And it can only be a center of influence if you and anybody else that preaches from his, from this platform is so heavenly minded and yet so earthly good. We live in an age where you have to have your church in two realities. Both are realities. One is virtual, the other one is physical. The first thing somebody does before checking out any church, he or she will go online. The church family, we have been on a growth, on a trajectory in the last few years that is just amazing for me. Just for those that have a more inquisitive mind. For a local church that is not attached to a major educational or health institution. Yes, we have a school, an elementary school here, and I don't want to underestimate the value of that. But we are not in the hub of Adventism here. The fact that this church has a platform of almost 5,000 online viewers, 4,500 subscribers on YouTube alone is remarkable. Please continue to shine in the online reality, because that is reality. It's virtual, but the impact is on physical life. Yes, it may seem that only those heavenly-minded people are in the virtual world. No, no, no. Those heavenly-minded people and earthly good people are there. But at the same time, you have to be 100% in this community. Which means that somebody that walks into your church or passes by the property, just by looking at what is going on here, should be able to understand Christianity is not about being so heavenly minded and no earthly good. Seventh-day Adventism is not to be disconnected and thrown in a utopia, and we live after Jesus Christ comes back, and up until that point, nothing interesting, nothing remarkable happens. No! Seventh-day Adventist means to be heavenly minded and yet so earthly good. This church is a center of influence. And that's why you have to keep this church always in the age where you are. Bringing the everlasting gospel, bringing the everlasting principles to that generation that you are placed here to serve. That's what Enoch did. I would like to just briefly mention the names of just a few of those that have been walking with me throughout this reconstruction process, people that are heavenly minded and so earthly good. I know it's very risky to create a list. Okay, so I'm not gonna mention names of those that were paid in any ways, but they did excellent jobs. I'm not gonna mention the names of the praise and worship department, because they are a huge and absolutely phenomenal department, and they have been there at every step of the way. Yes, give them a round of applause. I will just mention those that I noticed and that became remarkable for me, not only because of their heavenly mindedness, but also because they are so earthly good. I want to mention Nick Palmer, who has been here countless hours. Andrea Welby, who whose professional knowledge and insights has helped us tremendously throughout the permitting process and everything else. Armando Hernandez. Yeah, he deserves a big shout out for moving benches, for carrying stuff from one part of the building to the other part. Then I cannot not mention Steve Cheddar, who has been leveraging his professional knowledge, richness. Then Lyndon DiCarmo. Communication throughout the process, make sure things will not fall through the cracks. And I have to also mention somebody that is not visible right now, but I know he worked a lot, and he's not in prime leadership yet, but he has to become a leader, even officially. He is Dean Bailey. That guy, I talked about him to Pastor Lopez as he came in this morning. Like always, he just showed up and he was already looking, see, what can I do? How can I help? But in the meanwhile, greeting everybody. Hey, how are you? Hey, good to see you, okay? Yeah, I'm not gonna miss you. Eddie has been here throughout the process. And Eddie has to go and study, do that degree, and become a minister for the Lord. I'm sorry, I had to prophesy. Brothers and sisters, this church has been an amazing growth experience for me, walking side by side with the Lord. With God. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the love you poured out on me. The last week I couldn't answer all the phone calls and all the text messages that were pouring in. I'm overwhelmed. I would like to leave you with this final moment. Yes, I appreciated what the elders did, the prayer and everything. But I had something unique. I've never had this before. When I made the announcement the other day that God is calling us some other place, somebody texted me and told me, Pastor, you have to come see me before you leave. And I have something for you. Okay? Hey, I heard you. Yeah. I have something for you. And you know, when I hear about gifts, I'm a very, very cautious person. And if that had been at the beginning of my ministry here, I would have seen some red flags. Somebody wants to give me something, but I said, hey, I'm on my way out. Somebody wants to bless me with something, and I had promised to visit that person anyways. So I said, okay, I'm gonna go. So one of these days I drove there to his place, and it was a great chat, you know, just sitting together like father and son. And at one point I realized, hey, I have to go now. No, so you know the gestures the pastor does when he has to leave. You know? Thank you so much. So I think my time is here. So I have to go. So I was standing up. You know, when you are not standing, but you are standing up. And he said, no, sit down. I told you I have something for you. And he said, you know, silver and gold have I none. And then he took his little bottle of oil. And he said, I want to anoint you. I was so impressed, I didn't know where I am, you know? Because it had never happened to me before like this, you know? Because it was like a prophetic reality when somebody anoints you to go. Rise up and walk. So, thank you so much. I'm ready to rise up and walk on with God. And that's what I want you to do. I want to urge you to do the same. Rise up and walk with God, so heavenly minded and still so earthly good. Thank you so much. God bless.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.